Our gospel lesson this morning comes from John chapter 5. After this, there was a festival of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem, by the Sheep Gate, there is a pool, called in Hebrew Bethesda, which has five porticos. In these lay many invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Stand up, take your mat, and walk." At once the man was made well, and he took up his mat and began to walk. Now that day was a Sabbath. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, we are currently in a sermon series we're calling Where the Wild Things Are. It's a sermon series where we're talking about sins, but not just any sins, we're talking about the seven most famous sins out there. The seven sins that define our lives. Now, if you were here last week, you'll remember Sarah talked about the sin of wrath, what anger looks like when it boils up within us. And this week, we swing to the other end of the pendulum, at least emotionally, and that is the sin of sloth. Now, if you want to know what irony feels like, it's staring at a blank computer screen for hours, not wanting to write a sermon on sloth. Pretty much my entire Friday. But it's true. It's something that can seep into our lives so easily. That delay that keeps pushing off life until later. So we're going to ask the question, what does sloth look like in our lives? And how does God respond? But before we do, will you join with me in a word of prayer? Have thine own way, O Lord, have thine own way. For you, O God, are our potter. We are your clay. Melt us and mold us, make us and use us, have thine own way. Amen. Well, in the spring of 1968, an American comedian by the name of Pat Paulson shocked the world when he announced that he was running for the office of President of the United States. You see, Pat Paulson was a regular on the Smother Brothers Comedy Hour, and people were unsure how serious he was taking his campaign. For instance, he told his followers that he was a member of the Stag Party. That's the straight-talking American government party. And he would fire up his fan base using slogans like, "We can't stand Pat," or "United we sit," or "If elected, I will win." Now, Pat's campaign was run using outright lies, double talk, and unfounded attacks on his challengers, which, well, turned out to be an odd foreshadowing of the future of American politics. Now, when Pat's opponents called him out on his behavior, his inconsistencies of thought, he would simply respond by saying, "Picky, picky, picky." "What we want," Pat said to his followers in a speech, "is a national groundswell of apathy." Because let's be honest, I don't care if you do any of this stuff or not. You see, Pat Paulson ran his entire campaign on a platform of political disinterest, which is to say, he wanted to attract the people of our country that just didn't care. You know, the great Jewish scholar Elie Wiesel once said, the opposite of love isn't hate. It is indifference. He said, the opposite of beauty isn't ugliness. It is indifference. He said, the opposite of peace is not war. It is indifference. Indifference. It's a groundswell of apathy that, well, it keeps you from caring about anyone or anything, even yourself. Maybe that's why the original Latin word for sloth, acedia, literally translates as without care. Without care. That's what sloth means. It's because sloth, it's not laziness. Sloth, it's not hitting the snooze button or taking the escalator to the gym. No, 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 no. Sloth is much more corrosive than that. It's a type of emotional paralysis that can take over a person's life. After all, what's the difference between ignorance and apathy, someone once asked? Well, I don't know and I don't care. Sloth. It's indifference. It's apathy. It can creep into your heart. It can take over. It can put down roots until sooner or later you just don't care. Do you want to be made well? That was the question Jesus asked the sick man in the scripture passage this morning. Now notice, Jesus did not ask this man if he believed in God. He didn't ask the man if he went to church last week. Instead, the question he asked to the sick man was, do you want to be made well? Which is another way of asking the question, do you care about yourself enough to want to change? After all, this man had been sick for 38 years, longer than most people had been alive. Isaac Newton once said, an object in motion stays in motion, but he also said, an object at rest stays at rest. And this man had been at rest for a lifetime. It's just what happens to a person once they become stagnant. The apathy, the indifference, the acedia begins to creep into their heart. And sooner or later, they stop caring about anyone or anything, even themselves. Of course, the man had excuses for why things couldn't change in his life. We all have excuses for why things don't change. He blamed other people. Don't we all? He said that there was no one there to carry him to the healing pool. And of course, he said even if he could get to the healing pool, other people were getting in his way. Instead of changing his situation, he just sat there lying all day and all night, flat on his back, thinking about how life should be different. Acedia. It means without care. You know, a 4th-century Christian monk by the name of Evagrius the Solitary once said sloth was a noonday demon. Evagrius the Solitary believed that sloth, it made the sun hang higher in the sky for longer so that each day was 50 hours long. He believed that sloth lured faithful people towards inaction. Instead of doing the thing God was calling them to do, a sloth would leave a person motionless, paralyzed, lacking both the physical but also the emotional energy to change their situation. Do you want to be made well? Jesus asked. Of course, the man didn't respond. In fact, in the scripture, he never tells Jesus he wants to be healed. Sloth can do that to a person. You know, given the fact that this man seems completely indifferent towards his own situation, completely unwilling to change, I don't think any of us would have faulted Jesus if he had just walked away in this moment. After all, if the man doesn't want to be healed, then why should Jesus take the time to make him well? I don't think any of us would have blamed Jesus if he had just given up on the man, but of course, Jesus didn't do that. Because instead of walking away from him, he looked down to him and he said, "Stand up! He said, pick up your mat and walk. For the first time in almost four decades, the man was made well again. Jesus healed the man. But it wasn't just a physical healing that took place that day by the pool. No, the healing that Jesus gave this man, it was much deeper than that. I'm reminded of the story of Matthew Sleeth, a retired emergency room physician and founder of Blessed Earth Ministries, who tells of vacationing one summer with his wife along the Gulf of Mexico. Now, one evening, while Matthew and his wife were sitting under a blanket of stars, his wife turned to him and asked him a question. She said, Matthew, tell me, what do you think is the greatest challenge facing our world today? Now, there were so many different thoughts going through his mind, he was simply overwhelmed. I mean, what is the biggest challenge facing our world today? Is it the 40,000 nuclear warheads that still remain? Is it the 130 active wars that are still going on in our world? Is it the 1 billion people that are going to go to bed hungry tonight? Honestly, Matthew said. He said, the world is dying. He said, the truth is there's no elms left on Elm Streets. There are no chestnuts left on Chestnut Street. You can't find a caribou in Caribou, Maine, and there are no cod left in Cape Cod. He said, if we don't have clean air or clean water or healthy soil to sustain life, well, the other problems of the world, they just won't matter. Matthew's wife paused for a moment to consider his response. All right, she said to him. Well, if the world is dying, what are you going to do about it? Matthew said something in him that moment sparked. Something within him that moment came alive. As soon as his wife spoke to him, he knew that he had to do something about it. He knew God was calling him to some greater purpose and that he had a reason to get out of bed for the rest of his days. Stand up, Jesus said. Pick up your mat and walk. Yes, make no mistake about it. Jesus not only healed this man's body in our scripture passage this morning, he healed the man's heart as well. He gave the man a new meaning, a new reason to get out of bed in the morning. No longer was this lame man emotionally numb to the world around him. Now he had direction. Now he had purpose. That's just what God does. That's just how God disrupts our sloth. God awakens within us a holy discontentment for how the world is and a vision for how the world could be. And God gives us no response but to stand up and to do something about it. After all, don't forget, the opposite of sloth is not busyness. The opposite of sloth, well, it's passion. So what are you passionate about today? Where has God blessed you with a divine discontentment? Are you upset because the average age of a homeless person in Moore County is 8 years old? Or are you upset that 90% of the kids who go to Robbins Elementary School are on free or reduced lunch? Or are you upset that we live in one of the richest communities in the entire state and we still don't have a homeless shelter? Does that well up within you some kind of passion where you feel like you have no choice but to respond? That passion is God's gift to you. That passion is how God pushes you away from sloth and heals us of our indifference. Stand up, Jesus said. Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. Maybe you remember the story of André Trocmé. He was a French Protestant pastor who helped to hide and protect citizens who were Jewish during the Second World War. You see, Trocmé, he served a congregation that was located right on the Italian and Swiss border. And he simply could not understand, he couldn't fathom how so many people in his country could sit back and watch as their neighbors who were Jewish were arrested and deported. So he decided to do something about it. Trachme, he encouraged his parishioners to shelter and protect Jewish refugees that were trying to make their way to freedom. And over the course of the war, he and his congregation fed, transferred, and hid 5,000 Jewish people and brought them to safety in clear and open defiance of the Nazi regime. Now, when the Nazi officers realized what had happened and began to investigate his church and his community, well, Trachme wrote an open letter to their commanders. He wrote to them and said, "We feel obliged to tell you that there are among us a certain number of Jews, but we make no distinction between Jews and non-Jews. That is contrary to the gospel teaching. For if our comrades, whose only fault is to be born of another religion, if they receive the order to let themselves be deported or even examined, well, then we would disobey, and we would try to hide them as best we could." Simply put, he wrote, "We have Jews, and you're not getting them." Yes, the opposite of love is not hate. It is indifference. The opposite of beauty is not ugliness. It is indifference. The opposite of peace is not war. It is indifference. Stand up, Jesus said. Take up your mat and walk. And the man was healed. As God has given each of you a passion, God has blessed each of you with a divine discontentment for how the world is and what the world could be. It is somewhere inside of you. It is shut up in your bones. The only question you have to ask yourself is this: what are you going to do about it? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Will you pray with me? Spirit of the living God, wake us from our slumber, where we have grown complacent, where we have grown indifferent, where our hearts have become hard and our emotions callous. We pray that you would break our hearts. Give us hearts for you alone. We pray that you would free our emotions, that we might be filled with your passion, sent forth by your love, called by your voice. So God, dwell up within us the high and the holy calling, the great purpose for which you have made us. Lord, help us to stand and help us to walk. For we offer this prayer in your Son's name. Amen.